Amen. That wasn't too bad, right? Next time we'll get it better. We'll do it better. Amen. Well, everyone, happy Sabbath. I hope everyone's having a good morning today. The sun is out. It's a beautiful day. The rain has stopped, right? Although we do need the rain, but I'm happy to be here. And I pray to God that we will receive a blessing today. Before I begin the sermon, I just want to remind everyone that the pastor sent me a message this morning for those that speak Spanish and those that know who Pastor Bullon is. I'm sure a lot may know him. He's going to be in the Waldwick Church today at 3:30, and he's going to be doing a training. And it's a seminario de entrenamiento, ¿Cómo llegar a las almas? I'm saying it in Spanish because pretty much those that will go on only speak Spanish. So I hope that's okay. And also, ¿cómo testificar de Jesús a los compañeros y amistades, a los vecinos? So ese entrenamiento es para los que hablan español. Today, I'll say it in Spanish. Hoy, en la iglesia de Waldwick, a las 3:30. Esperan su participación. Gracias. Thank you very much. Well, on to my sermon. Recycling business. And you'll see what I mean by recycling business. First, I want to define what the word recycling means. I only found one definition. That's the one that I need for this sermon. So there's many of them, believe me. I looked at a couple. What does recycling mean? The definition I found is to alter or adapt for a new use without changing the essential form or nature of that item. In other words, if you're going to recycle plastic, you could only turn it into plastic. If you're going to recycle something made out of metal, you could only turn it into something that's going to be used for metal. I know Andrew's here. Am I correct? So far. Thank you. He's an expert, by the way. He should be up here when it comes to plastic. So I should have double-checked with him before. But from what I learned is, so when you recycle a bottle, by the way, I read today that they don't recycle a cap for some reason. Anyway, when you recycle a bottle, you can only turn it into something that's going to be plastic, like saran wrap or garbage bags or whatever. So it has to be something that's going to be used for plastic. Does everyone understand? Believe me, it'll be important at the end. So you can only turn it into something that's going to be used for the same material. Okay? Why is it necessary? What are the benefits? There's many, but I have three. To help conserve the earth, to reduce pollutants or pollution, and to save energy. Those are the three that I found. And so what is the definition of recycle? Is to change something, to alter for a new use without changing the essential form of that item. And it's used for to save the earth, to conserve energy, and also for pollution. Now, when I was growing up, my dad used to take, during the summertime, my dad would take us to the parks. I grew up in Havistraw, about 45 minutes from here. So for those of you that might know the area, I've heard of Bear Mountain and Rockland Lake and the lakes. Well, my dad used to take us during the summertime. And he was like, "You guys want stuff back to school? All right, you're going to have to buy it." We're like, "All right, great." So he would take us every single Sunday to a different park, and we would go collect bottles. And it came to a point that we knew the guys that were at the one recycling place near our house. Like, we knew them by a first-name basis. Like, so-and-so's going to be here. And there was a line. It was us three and the two other guys we saw every single Sunday. So that happened for many years. So, and it's 5 cents. It's 5 cents. How can you go wrong, right? So then many years later, excuse me, fast forward to about 2 years ago, or actually, I started working in the city about 5 years ago. But the first 3 years, I worked in a place where we weren't allowed to drink bottled beverages. We could only either, they would give us a cup or we would use whatever. And we would use, they had a dispenser especially for water. That was just what the client wanted. So then about 2 years ago, I switched to somewhere else. And they allowed us to drink bottled waters. Poland Spring, that was the water that we were allowed to buy for the employees. And then my childhood kicked in, right? I saw them throwing out the bottles, and I'm like, "This is 5 cents." And I'm like, so I started my own recycling business, believe it or not. And it was just one employee. It was me. So I started telling everyone, whoa, don't throw those bottles out. If I see you throwing it out, I'll rake you up. It was a joke, though. But so they started collecting bottles for me. And every week I would go to the supermarket, Gristiti's. Those are like the ShopRites in the city. And so I would go there every day. I even knew the name of the guy. His nickname was Flaco. So he would know me. He knew all my bottles were only water. They were all clean. So he would just be like, 100? I'm like, yeah, $5. We did the exchange, and it was over. And then, so that was just, by the way, I did pay tithes on it, and I did report it to the IRS. So just to be clear. And then some days when I think it was Thursdays, when there was like the big collection, so then I would go to the CVS, and the guy knew me there too. The guy in the Rite Aid knew me. And that was in Midtown. So then I had a recycling business, right? So then about in May, we moved downtown, right across the street from the Freedom Tower. And so it was the whole new area for me. And as soon as I got there, the first thing I did in Google was look up pharmacies in the area so I can continue my recycling business. And then, because it was totally new. I didn't know where to go. I didn't know the supermarkets. It's a Whole Foods nearby, but it was too much work. So then I found a pharmacy in the Brookfield Place by Hudson Eats down there. And so I started going, and some guy from Jersey was like, "What are you doing?" I'm like, I have a business. I'm recycling my 100 bottles a week. And then he's like, "Really?" He's like, I'm like, "Yeah. So what do you have to do?" I'm like, "Nothing. I just go and get my 5 cents." And he was like, but what else?" I'm like, "No, that's it." And he has a part-time job cleaning. So he's like, "So I can bring bottles?" He's like, "We can go into business?" I'm like, "All right, let's do it. We'll do 50-50. And he started importing bottles from Jersey. he brings them with him on the bus or on the path or whatever. And, you know, it was just the both of us. So it increased a little bit. And then there was another guy who was like, "Wait, that's it?" I'm like, "Yeah, that's all we do." He's like, "Can I have in?" And I'm like, "Well, I have to talk to the board of directors. We'll see if we can let you in." And so we finally, we cut him in. And there's another girl that's kind of like part-time. So we have like 4 people. And it's only like $10 a week. And at the end of the day, you know, we're going to pool it at the end of the year and just divide it. But I figured, you know, I'll just split it between them three. They don't know yet. That'll be the Christmas surprise. You know, it's recycling, and it's free. And so we started our own little recycling business. And, you know, it's just, and then we kid around, you know, we're like, oh, and we kid around saying one day we'll be sitting on the beach and laughing how we started with, like, you know, 4 employees and stuff. But so there's a recycling business, right? And God has another recycling business. That's the main focus I'm going to talk about today. This morning, by God's grace, I will briefly go through the life of Samson. I know there's some of you, or it might be many of you, that went to the Sight and Sound Theater, right? And saw the life of Samson portrayed, in, you know, like they say, in a dramatic way. But I'm going to use 3 points from his story, and we can be here for hours talking about the life of Samson. But I've picked out 3 things that stick out the most important in the lives of Samson. And I'm going to, by God's grace, try to put feet to that sermon today so it can be more understandable for us in 2016. I will show you how God has a plan for everyone here. But if by some reason or another we stray from the straight and narrow path, God can recycle us and use us again for his glory. God is in the recycling business. Let us pray before I begin. Can you please bow your heads? Heavenly Father, my God, we thank you again for this wonderful day you have given us. Lord, today I ask for your Holy Spirit to guide me and everyone else here, that your name may be glorified in all that we do. Lord, we ask you this in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm not so much going to read through the life of Samson, but if you have a chance, you can find him in the book of Judges. And I think it begins in chapter 13. So if you get a chance and you go home, read the story of the lives of Samson. You know, it's nice to see it in the Sight and Sound Theater, but I encourage you to read it in the Bible, because there's some stuff that you miss and there's something that's very important. And there's one verse, when I read it, it stuck out to me, and It was like, boom. And we'll talk about that later. So I encourage you when you go home to read the life of Samson. And it begins in 1 Judges chapter 13. Now, the first part of my sermon is God has a plan for you today. God has a plan for you. That's number one. Amid the widespread apostasy, the faithful worshipers of God continued to plead with him for the deliverance of Israel. Though there was apparently no response, year after year, the power of the oppressor continued to rest more heavily upon the land. God's providence was preparing help for them. Even in the early years of the Philistine oppression, a child was born through whom God designed to humble the power of these mighty foes. God had an important work for the promised child of Manoah to do, which was through the leadership of Samson. Now, the story of Samson, right? His wife was barren, they couldn't have children, and God promised them that they were going to have a child, right? He promised them that they were going to have a boy, and he had to take a certain vow, right? It was a Nazirite vow. Now, the three things about Nazirite vow, I'm not going to talk to them so much, but three things. No grapes, couldn't cut his hair, and he couldn't be near dead people. Those were the three things, right? No grapes, he couldn't cut his hair, and he couldn't be near the dead people. That was a vow that his family made, and by the way, his mother made that vow as well. So that's another object lesson. His mother took the same vow that the child had. So those were the important things in Samson's life. And since a child, he was growing in strength and also in the fear of God. So as Samson's life grew, he not only became stronger, but he also grew in the fear of God, like I said. So number one, God has a plan for you. Since the beginning, before that time, God had a plan for the children of Israel. He was going to raise up Samson, and he was going to deliver them from the Philistines into freedom, right? So God had a plan for Samson, but did Samson fulfill God's plan to the T? No, right? He strayed away from God's plan. Did God ultimately use him to fulfill that plan? Yes, but through another way, right? In Jeremiah 29:11, the Bible says, "For I know the thoughts that I think of towards you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end." In Proverbs 3:5-6, it says, "Trust the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto your own understanding," right? "In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your" what? "Your paths." Isaiah 58:11 says, "And the Lord shall guide thee continually." So that is God's plan for you. He wants to give us a fulfilling life, right? He wants to give us a great end to our lives. Jeremiah 1:5, speaking of the prophet, "Before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. And before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee. And I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations." So from God, the beginning, God has a plan for each and every one of you today. Psalms 32:8 says, "I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way which thou shalt go, and I will guide thee with mine eyes." So every step of the way, as long as we're following God's path and we're being obedient to his calling, he will lead us all the way. Once we stray away from him, that's when the problems begin. So the first part of the sermon is God has a plan for you. God had a plan for Samson since the beginning. He had a plan for Israel to deliver them from their oppression. The second part of this sermon is turning away from God. Did Samson turn away from God? He did, right? He turned away from God, and a lot of problems ensued. This is speaking of Samson. The association with idolaters corrupted him. The town of Zoar being near the country of the Philistines, Samson came to mingle with them on friendly terms. He became friends with the Philistines. They started hanging out. They started being boys or whatever you want to call it. They started hanging out so much that little by little, Samson began to what? To compromise. Little by little. You know, it's not all of a sudden. Compromise happens a little bit at a time. So there's Samson compromising. It began with just being friends with the Philistines. Thus, in his youth, intimacy sprang up, the influence of which darkened his whole life. Then women became Samson's poison. Physically, Samson was the strongest man upon the earth, but in self-control, in integrity, and firmness, he was one of the weakest of the men. Many mistake strong passions for a strong character, but the truth is that he who is mastered by his passions is a weak man. The real greatness of a man is measured by the power of the feeling that he controls, not by those that controls him. He was controlled by his passions. You know, if you read in the Bible, I want that woman, she's going to be my woman. No, Samson, she's not right for you. She's a Philistine. She's a this. She's a harlot. No, I want her. I'm going to have her. And he had them. His parents said, no, you can't do it. God has told you what you have to do. He's told our people not to mingle with unbelievers, and he did. And problems happened. In Proverbs 16:25, the Bible says, there is a way that appears to be right, but in the end, it leads to death. To him, it looked like it was going to be all roses and everything, but what happened at the end? It led to death. The Israelites, who could not be overcome by the arms of the enchantments of the Midians, fell a prey to her harlots. This is talking about in Numbers when Israel had the apostasy in Baal Peor. Such is the power that women enlisted in the service of Satan has exerted to entrap and destroy souls. She has cast down many wounded. Yea, many strong men have been slain by her. Proverbs 7:26. It was thus that the children of Seth were seduced from their integrity and by the holy seed became corrupt. It was thus that Joseph was tempted, the Samson betrayed his strength, the defense of Israel, into the hands of the Philistines. Here David stumbled, and Solomon, the wisest of kings, who had thrice been called the beloved of God, became a slave of passion, and sacrificed his integrity to the same bewitching power. In 1 Corinthians 10:11, it says, now all these things happen unto them for examples, that they are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come. Wherefore, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed, lest he falls. In other words, God has given us examples of what happens in the past, so we won't make the same mistakes. He's guiding us all the way. You see, Satan well knows the material with which he has to deal in the human heart. Satan knows each and every one of our weaknesses. He knows where to get us. It might not what affects me might not affect you. What my temptation is might not be yours. Who knows? It might. So Satan knows well the material in which he has to deal in the human heart. He knows, for he has studied with fiendish intensity for thousands of years. That's all he's been doing, is studying men. The points most easily assailed in every character, and through successive generations, he has wrought to overthrow the strongest men, princes in Israel, by the same temptation that were so successful at Baal Peor. All along through the ages, there were sown wrecks of character that have been stranded upon the rocks of sensual indulgence. As we approach the close of time, as the people of God stand upon the borders of the heavenly Canaan, Satan will, as of old, redouble his efforts to prevent them from entering the goodly land. He lays his snares for every soul. The same thing that happened to Israel before they entered Canaan, the same thing that happened to Samson and David, to Joseph, the same temptation these great men of the Bible had, Satan is going to redouble his efforts right before Jesus returns. Women, we need your help. You know, there's a lot of men here that have struggles. You know, a lot of times they don't talk about this in church, but men struggle. And a lot of women are not helping the men by the way they dress. I'm sorry to say this clearly, you know, but there's no other place to say it. And where there's people here, especially people in church, you know, sometimes We come here as a safe haven, and it's not by the way you're dressed. You know, the men need your help. You know, guys, in the book of Job, Job made a covenant with his eyes, right? Yes or no? Job made a covenant with his eyes to God that he wouldn't look upon someone else. But the women are not helping us these days, especially how some people dress when they come to church. We need your help. You know, we're here to look for Jesus. And it's not helping the way some people dress. You know, the other day, I'm going to lighten the mood because I know everyone's like, the other day, my wife was in the fitting room. And she's like, oh, what do you think? I'm like, honey, you want to leave some space for the Holy Spirit? I'm like, no. I'm like, you're not getting that. You know, because that thing was like, I'm like, no. I'm like, you have to leave some room for the Holy Spirit. We're not getting that today. So, you know, husbands, we have a responsibility before God to our wives, right? We have to be like, no. You know, mothers, you have a responsibility to your daughters. Be like, no, you're not going like that. Sometimes I'll tell them, like, no, you're not going. You're not wearing that. You know, you're not wearing that. You know, donate it or something, but you're not wearing that. You know, we have a responsibility. There's people here that are struggling, and we have to be faithful to God. Amen? So, ladies, next time you're trying to fit something on, if the Holy Spirit will not fit, don't wear it, please. So that's, you know, I'm trying to lighten the mood now. So I hope that works. The lack of control to curb his passions led to Samson's capture and imprisonment and eventually death. What is our downfall? Is it money? Is it work? Is it alcohol? Is it drugs? You know, sometimes we come to church and we're like, really? Are you really talking about alcohol and drugs in the church? Yes. Are you talking about pornography in the church? Yes. With this percentage of people here, I guarantee if we did an anonymous survey and everyone was anonymous, you would be surprised. Once they did a survey to ministers, it was a whole range of different denominations. It was in Michigan, it was done. And they asked the men, are you faithful to your wife? Do you indulge in pornography? Or do you, ministers, by the way. And, you know, there was a percentage that said, yes, they do. And then at the end, have you been 100% truthful? And a lot said no. So I'm talking to human beings today. We have struggles. Only we know what they are. Sometimes our spouses don't even know what they are. You know, so we have to focus on Jesus. He's the only one that can help us. Sometimes we can't even go to someone in church and say, look, I'm struggling with pornography. I'm struggling with alcohol. I'm struggling with smoking. You know, because we're afraid, but only Jesus can help us. So the more we turn away from God is when Satan has us in his snare. By the way, once someone asks, how can you tell that your spiritual life is in struggle? Some pastors are easy. How often do you pray? There's your answer. So if you want to ask yourself today, how's my spiritual life? Look at your prayer life, and that'll be your answer. That's how you can gauge your life. So the first part of my sermon was what? Anyone remember? God has a plan for you. The second part? Turning away from God, right? Samson turned away from God, and it turned out really bad. The third part of my sermon is second chances. Amen, right? Second chances. And, I want you to open up your Bibles, please, to Judges 16, 22. Once I was doing the Bible reading for the year, the Bible plan, and in this Bible app, I don't know if they still have it. It was called Bible Is back in the day. And I really liked it a lot. I even was recommended to everyone, Bible Is. So then I was hearing it one morning on the bus, and this verse came up. So if you can please open up your Bibles to Judges 16:22. Everyone have it? So let me get to the context of this. Samson, already had told Delilah where his power lied, right? Where was it? For those of you that know the story, where was it? His hair, right? His power was in his hair. Was it really? We'll get to that right now. His power was in his hair, right? Delilah was nagging him. Those of you that saw the play, I actually went to see it the day after Thanksgiving with my family. And she was really nagging in that play, right? She even became annoying after a while, hearing her cry to tell him to the why his hair, whatever. Anyway, so he tells her the hair they cut off, they come take him. He's in the prison, he's in the mill, right? By the way, he's blinded already, and he's there grinding. This is punishment, dark cave, you know, mildew, humid, whatever. He's there. He's pretty much being tortured for what happened. So, and then we get to this verse, 16:22. And just listen to this verse. However, the hair of his head began to grow again after it had been shaved. Amen. My hair's going to come back. Don't worry. I went to the barber and he's like, you're going to cut your hair? What's your wife going to say? I'm like, she's in Bolivia. It's all right. She'll be back. It's all right. She'll be back anyway. It'll grow back. So his hair on his head began to grow again. And when I read that, when I heard it, I overlooked it all the time. What is this saying to you? What do you think it's saying? Yes, yes. Restoration. God had a plan for Samson's life. So here he is in the mill, right? Being punished for what happened. He's being tortured. And the hair on his head began to grow again. God is a God of second chances. Where did his strength lie? In his hair. Okay, now I'm going to ask you a question. Was it 50%, 100%? Did all the power lie in his hair? Yes or no? What do you think? 100% yes? Raise your hand. 50%? Raise your hand. There's only like three people here. Let's try this again. Ready? If you think 100% of his power relied on his hair, raise your hand. All right, no one. One. If you think 50% of the power lied in his hair, raise your hand. All right, about, I don't know, 8 of you, 10. If you thought none of the power lied in his hair, raise your hand. Okay, there's more. Okay, I like your honesty. All right. Now, by the way, I'll give you the answer, not right now, though. I'll give it to you now. It says, there was no virtue in his hair merely, but it was a token of his loyalty to God. And when the symbol was sacrificed in the indulgence of passions, the blessings of which it was a token, were also forfeited. So it was like 50%, right? This is merely. So what percent is that? None? 37 about 40. All right. Merely. Which is not entirely, right? I'm not a teacher, so I don't know every single word there is. But merely to me is not everything, but not anything either, right? So there was some virtue in there, right? All right. Is anyone awake? All right, I'm just checking. All right. So not all the power was in his hair, right? It was the covenant he made with God that was an important part. Once he severed that covenant, Samson was done. But praise God for second chances. In suffering and humiliation, a sport for the Philistines, Samson learned more of his own weakness than he had ever known before, and in his afflictions led him to repentance. Sometimes we stray from God, and that in order to look up, sometimes we're down. Sometimes God allows things to happen in our lives so we can look up. It happens to many men and women. It happened to many men and women in the Bible, just like it happens to many of us today. In Micah 7:18 says, who is a God like you, parting in iniquity and passing over transgressions for the remnant of his inheritance? He does not retain his anger forever, because he delights in steadfast love. In Isaiah 43:25 says, I am he who blots out your transgressions for my name's sake, and I will remember your sins no more. God wants to accomplish his purpose, his will in our lives. Even if we stray from Him, we can come back to Jesus. God's will for our lives is what? According to 1 Thessalonians verse 4, is to be sanctified. That's His will. He wants us to be in heaven. He wants to see us face to face. That's His will for us. In 2 Chronicles 7:14 says, "If my people, which I called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven, I will forgive their sins, and I will heal their land." God wants to restore us. God is a God of second chances. God gave Samson a second chance. And although it ended with the death of Samson, in that way, that wasn't God's intended plan. Samson renewed his covenant with God, and he was placed in the hall of faith, found in Hebrews chapter 11. In Jeremiah 31:13, it says, "This is a covenant that I will make with the people of Israel after that time, declares the Lord. I will put the law in their minds, and I will write it on their hearts. I will be their God, and they shall be my people." God is a God of second chances. So the first part of this sermon is God has a plan for you. The second part of the sermon is what? Turning away from God. And the third part is God is a God of second chances. We were discussing the life of Samson. So what's my conclusion to this recycling business? Is I praise God that God is in the recycling business. Amen. What did we learn today about recycling? What's the definition of recycling? That you turned something into a new use without altering what the material, right? So how does God recycle our lives when we have gone bad? What is God really changing in our lives? Is he changing the person? No. Is he changing the circumstance or the situation we're in? Not all the time. Sometimes never. So what does God really recycle in our lives? Anyone? Our character? But what else? Our hearts. Our hearts. According to the Bible, I just read it in Jeremiah 31:13. God is going to take our stony heart away. Right? I should go this way. Right? And he's going to change it to a new heart. Right? And after he changes our heart, or my heart, he's going to put his covenant in our heart. And we will be his people. And he will be our God. Amen? God is in the recycling business. God does not want to accomplish. He doesn't want someone else to accomplish what he has planned for you to do. You have to keep that in mind. He has put us on this earth for some reason. For some reason or another, you're working in the place that you're in right now. You're going to that school, not because you chose it, so you think, because God wants you there to reach someone for Christ. He has you doing something. Maybe you're not working. Maybe you're retired now, and you can reach someone now that you haven't before. You know, when my dad had his first stroke, he stopped working. And then what did he do? He was pretty much home and hanging out. And then we're like, all right, we got to bring him somewhere. So we started taking him to like those nursing home things where they pick you up in the bus and he goes for the day. And he started making a lot of friends there. And, you know, everyone knew him. His nickname used to be Mexico, Mexico. You know, any old timer from that place knows him by that name. I used to be like, oh, I'm the son of Mexico, because sometimes they didn't even know his name. They just knew his nickname. So that's how I would introduce myself. I'm Mexico's son, you know. But and he recycled my dad's health. He didn't recycle his health to brand new, but he still used them in another way. Every time my dad would fall ill, he would recycle his situation, right, or his heart or his life, whatever, and he would use them in the hospital. I haven't seen anyone give out so many tracts from a hospital room than my dad. He would give it to everyone, and sometimes twice. Oh, no, we have it already. But they'd just take it anyway. So whatever situation you're in, God wants to use you in that situation. If today you have strayed away from God, he still is in the business of recycling your heart. He will take away your heart in whatever situation it's in. As long as you give your heart to him, he will restore it. back to the way he wanted it to be. At the end of the day, just like Eden was in the Garden of Eden in Genesis chapter 1 and 2 and 3, he wants it to be the same. He wants us to be in there when it's the new garden in the new earth. Amen? So God, praise God that God is in the business of recycling our hearts. Amen. Thank you for your attention. In closing, we're going to open up our hymns to number 269.